Morning. Today's daf from Sachem Pei Aleph. We are on Pei Amud Beis. We're at the two dots towards the bottom of the Amud. We're at the section Nidma Tumas Atahom. The Mishnah yesterday introduced us to the idea of the tzitz. The tzitz is meratzeh. So although that is a short phrase, that carries with it a lot. The Karban Pesach is brought in a state of tumah when the majority of the Jewish people are tameh. So that in general is accurate. That's what we've been spending a couple days, the last couple days working on. The Mishnah, the previous Mishnah already taught us on Ayin Tes Amud Aleph, that if you have the majority of the Jewish people tameh, or the Kohanim tameh, or the Kelim tameh, so the Karban Pesach can be brought in a state of tumah. Whether or not tumah is hutcher or dechuya is open for deliberation. With the Gemara discussed it already numerous times. The Gemara now is going to be focusing on the Mishnah. The Mishnah, last Mishnah that we did in yesterday's daf, is that if I do Zrikas Adam of the Karban Pesach, and afterwards, having discovered now that the Karban Pesach actually is Tameh, so the Tzitz creates Ritzui. So as we already discussed a number of times, explained a number of times, this idea is that the Big Day Kohen Gadol have certain powers and certain effects, and one of them is that they can push through a Karban that's Tameh. Normally, a Karban that's Tameh is not to be offered, but nevertheless, under limited circumstances, so there's a certain protexia that the that is contained in the begadim of the Kohen Gadol, in which is the, if he has it sits, which Kohen Gadol does, so then it's going to create Ritzui. We already saw earlier, Machlokus, whether or not the sits creates Ritzui when the Kohen Gadol is wearing it versus not wearing it. But anyway, this idea of sits being Maratza, so that is what we discussed yesterday in the Mishnah. Pushing through a carbon that's Tameh, it has a number of limitations. First of all, where are we going to find this idea in the Torah? And the answer is that we're not going to find this idea in the Torah. And the Gemara, today's daf, is going to point out a little bit later on. It's Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. This is just simply a tradition that was given from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu as part and parcel of the Torah Sheba'al Peh. But there is no psukim that would indicate it. The Gemara is going to, a little bit later on, going to have a couple of suggestions in terms of perhaps sourcing of where this comes from in the Chumash, but when all said and done, Halach LaMoshe MiSinai. Rashi right here on the Mishnah already highlights that point. When is the tzitz going to be meratzeh? So the Mishnah, the simple reading of the Mishnah is that first of all, it only applies to tumas basar when the carbon itself is tamei, but it's not going to help out if the person offering the carbon is tamei. So that we already established in the Mishnah. The additional to that, the Mishnah also went on to say that the tzitz being meratzeh is going to aid and abet a tumah, a specific tumah called tumas hatahom. Look at the last line of the Mishnah, the nitma tumas hatahom at tzitz meratzeh. So if you have this special unique kind of tumah called tumas hatahom, so the tzitz will create ritzui for that. Okay. And the question is really simple and straightforward. What is tumas hatahom? So, the Mishnah does not give us any definition. Even as we go through the Gemara, it's going to be somewhat clearer in terms of what tumas hatahom is. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi in the Mishnah points out nitma gufo, betumas hatahom, betumas safek. Okay, the Rashi says that when we're talking about tumas tahom, so we're talking about tumas aguf, and Rashi describes it as being a tumas safek, and the Gemara is going to explain. Now, safek over here is perhaps not the best way to describe it, meaning Rashi, of course, being very careful of every word that he chooses, but just in terms of communicating what tumas tahom is, so we're going to see later on, it's basically the kind of tumah where nobody knew about it. Well, when I say nobody knew about it, if nobody ever knew about it, so then there's no tumah of what to talk about. Meaning at the time when the tumah was transmitted, nobody knew about it, and then was discovered at a later point in time. Since you have this kind of tumah, so we have Rashi over here clearly describes in the Mishnah, it's a halach LaMoshe MiSinai, the hutcher tumas atahom lahem, that there's a special dispensation that's given that tumas atahom will be allowable, the carbon will be able to pass through, but only if it falls under this category of tumas hatahom. What is this category of tumas hatahom? So let's see together exactly what we're talking about. So Rashi writes over, I'm sorry, we're in the Gemara on Peyamid Beis to Tumas Atom. Rashi, the Gemara says, sorry. Nidma Tumas Atom by Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama starts off now interrogating the limitations, the scope of this Tumas Atom. So Kohen and Marasa become the same Hutra, Lo Tumas Atom, O Lo. So when we have now the Kohen doing Ritzui with a carbon, meaning we're talking about the Kohen doing the Avoda. So are we going to say that this Tzitz creating Ritzui for Tumas Atom, is it applied to the Kohen as well? So mi amina ki gemir tumas atom bebalim. So do we say that the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim only applies to the owner of the karban bekohen lo gemiri, and we simply don't have a halacha Moshe Mitzrayim for the kohen doing the avoda? Odilma bezivcha gemiri lo shem bekohen lo shem bebalim. Or maybe no, maybe the focus of the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is really on the karban itself and anyone participating in the karban. That means the owner who obviously owns the karban, who is going to get a check for having brought the carbon, or even the Kohen doing the avoda with the carbon. So maybe the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim covers both. So Amar Rav Tashma Dini Rabbi Chiya. So the Gemara says, well, I think we can gain an answer to this based on a brisa. Now the brisa we're going to see in full at the end of today's daf. The brisa reads, Lamar Tumas Atom Ela Lameis Bavad. So the brisa concludes by saying that Tumas Atom only applies to Tumas Mace. Meaning, and there is not going to be any other form of Tumah where the Tzitz creates Ritzui other than Tumas Mace. That is the Braisa. Now, Mace Mute Mai. Question now becomes really simple. The Braisa is looking to exclude something. That part's clear. So, my love, Lamute Tumas Atom to Sheretz. So, presumably, what the Braisa is coming to tell us is that if we have a scenario of Tumas Atom of Sheretz, so under those circumstances, the tzitz is not going to be meratzeh. Now, tumas tahom of a mace is pretty easy to understand what we're talking about because the body's buried underground. Nobody knew about it. And only at a later point in time, it was discovered because someone dug in that area and found the body. So it's easy to conceive of a scenario in which you have tumas tahom of a mace. Tumas tahom of a sheretz, nobody knew about it. It's a little bit more difficult. Remember, Tumas Sheretz only creates Tumah, only transmits Tumah, only through Negiah, only through contact. So admittedly, it is going to be require a little bit of imagination coming up with a scenario where there will be Tumas Atom of Sheretz. But for our purposes right now, let's assume that there is such a case. So what the Bryce is telling us is that there's not going to be Tumas Atom of Sheretz. Uvamayiskin and Inem Babalim. So the Gemara says now, as far as applying this limud, meaning we're excluding Tumas Tom of Sheretz. To what? The owner? So, uvem man ibe nazir mi mahani bay. So the Gemara says, are we talking about a nazir? So the Gemara says, the Sheretz has no effect on a nazir, specifically on his nazirus. So, ki amus meis alav amar rachmana. When it comes to a nazir, what's going to knock out his counting? So that's going to be Tumas Meis, and it's only Tumas Meis. That's a pasuk. So although a nazir will become tummy when he comes into contact with the sheretz, but that doesn't affect his nazirus, so that's not what we're talking about. Elabos de Pesach, so we only have one other choice, one other alternative, and that's carbon Pesach. Remember, that tzitz creating ritzui is only for the case of carbon Pesach and the case of nazir as well. At least that's what we think right now. So, okay, so we're down to the carbon Pesach. So, hanich laman darmein shochtim vizokin al tami sheretz. So, remember a machlokus that we've encountered numerous times in our Masechta. Somebody who's tummy to Masheretz on Erev Pesach. So can he join a chabura? Can the carbon Pesach be sprinkled over him? So it's a major machlokus that we've seen time and again. So if we subscribe to Ein Shochtim Zorkin al Tami Sheretz, so the answer now is that you are not allowed to. So then that would work out very well over here. Because that means to say that the Sheretz is going to be excluded from it. And now, if the tzitz creates ritzui, so now you understand the exclusion. The exclusion is telling us that, yes, it sits creates Ritzui, but only for Tumas Meis, not for Tumas Sheretz. So now we need an exclusion. But Elaman, Dam, Reshochtim, Zorkin, Al, Tumas Sheretz, Asher, Tumas Yidua, Hutrolo, Tumas Aton, Lo, Kol, Shekain. But if we subscribe to the viewpoint that you can sprinkle Dam of Carbon Pesach over a Tumas Sheretz, so then what's the big deal? Even if we know definitively that he's Tumas Tumas Sheretz, and you could sprinkle, and you could offer Carbon Pesach on his behalf, so for sure, if it's only a Tumas Atahom, and I'm going to borrow Rashi's language over here, a Suffake, meaning we don't know Or we didn't know at the time when the Tumah was transmitted. So for sure, then, you're allowed to offer Karban Pesach, and I don't even need the tzitz under those circumstances. So the Gemara says, El Ala B'Kohen. So, what must we be talking about over here? We have to be talking about the Kohen. Ushma Mina Uchra La Tumah Satahom. And so the exclusion is going to the Kohen. And if the exclusion is going to the Kohen, and the reason why the Gemara now is saying that is because simply we have nobody left. We're not talking about the Nazir, we're not talking about the owner of the Karban Pesach. So we simply have nobody left. And if we have nobody left, so the exclusion has to exclude somebody, so it's excluding the Kohen. So once we're excluding the Kohen, in the case of Tumah Sheretz, what does that mean in general? In general, that means that the Kohen is included in this Ritzui of the Tzitz being Meratzah. So good. So I understand that the argument that the Gemara has just given is a somewhat complex argument. But right now, the Gemara is arguing that the Kohen is in fact included in the Ritzui. Meaning that the Tzitz being Meratzah is going on the Karban and anybody associated with the Karban. Both the owner of the Karban and the Kohen doing the Avoda with this Karban. I'm Rav Yosef Lo Olam Bebalim Uve Pesach. Rav Yosef says, no, we don't have to arrive at that conclusion. Rather, let's go back to the Karban Pesach. Let's go back to the owner of the Karban Pesach. And as far as the exclusion of the Brais, Lamute Tumas Atahom, de Ziva. So the Gemara says, what we're looking to exclude over here is Tumas Atahom of Ziva. Now, Tumas Atahom de Ziva. So what are we describing over here? So a person is dissolved, but in a state of Tahom, of where he didn't know. Now over here, we have to think this through. What exactly does that mean? Tumas Tahom of Ziva. What exactly are we describing over here? So Rashi points out, and it's going to be clear in the Gemara, but we could take a look at the bottom Rashi over here, where Rashi writes, that Vashmin and Rebbe Chia, last two lines of the Rashi. Vashmin and Rebbe Chia, the Tumas Tahom de Ziva, Kigon, Zav Bishvi Shalom. So we're talking about a Zav on the seventh day. Remember, when a man has a discharge, the first discharge that he has, so at that point in time, he's what's called a Zav, but it's only a minor Zivus. He tovers in the mikvah, and that night, after Harav Shemesh, so he'll be Tahor. However, once he has two Zav discharges, right? Sorry, we're talking about the man, not the woman. Where now, if he has it, and for a man, it doesn't have to be on two consecutive days. It could even be on the same day. So now he's a major Zav. In order for him to become Tahor, he has to count Shiva Nikiyim. And on the seventh day, he's going to be toveling in the mikvah. That night, he'll have Harav Shemesh, and then he'll be Tahor. And then there's also Zav of a man who had three Re'iyos, but right now, we could just talk about two. Kagon Zav B'Shvi Shalom, the Safek Hu, Shema Yira Yom, V'Yister Kol Mashe Matzah, Safek Lo Yireh. So now, we're describing him on the seventh day, after having toveled in the mikvah. Zav is allowed to tovel in the mikvah during the day. But now, in order for him to become Tahor, so he needs to have successfully counted that seventh day. So from the time that he toveled on the seventh day until the evening, so now he's in a state of Tumas HaTahom of Ziva. Because right now, we don't know. It could very well be that he will have a discharge sometime during the balance of that day. If in fact that's true, that's going to upend all of his minion, all of his sphere, all of his counting. And now he's going to be Tameh, going retroactive all the way back to his original, his discharge. So this is now going to be a case of Tumas Tahom de Ziva, of the Zav, Abal Shtei Re'iyos, on the seventh day after he toveled in the mikvah, where now from this point going forward, he simply does not know. And if he has a discharge, so now he's now he's going to be Tameh retroactive. So the Gemara says that that's what the Brice is coming to look to exclude. So the Gemara says, V'tumas atom deziva l'miratza v'atanya. So the Gemara says, well, that's interesting. The Gemara says that comes as a newsflash. Tumas tahom deziva is not gonna be aided and abetted by the tzitz. Don't we have the following Brice of atanya? Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shomer Siyom Kenega Yom, Sheshachka V'zarko Allah B'sheni Shalah. So let's say you have a Shomer Siyom Kenega Yom. Now we're describing a woman who has a Zavah discharge, and a woman having a Zavah discharge. So for one Ziva discharge, so she's what's called a Shomer Siyom Kenega Yom. That means that on day two, as long as she tovels in the mikvah on day two, anytime during the day, and as long as she concludes that day in a state of Tahara, so then she'll be Tahara. So let's say now we have a woman who had a Zav discharge on the 13th day of Nisan. So now the 14th day of Nisan, she's what's called the Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. She tovels on the 14th day. And then, V'achar Kach Ra'asa. And then at a later point in time, she sees Eino Ochelas. So she's not going to be able to eat Karm Pesach. And of course she's not able to eat Karm Pesach because she's Tameya. But here we get to the exciting part of this Brisa. Upitura me'alasos Pesach Sheni. But she will be exempt from Pesach Sheni. So she'll be exempt from Pesach Sheni. Why? Because she received a check mark for having brought a carbon. Why? Because the tzitz was meratza. So we see over here clearly in this brisa that the tzitz was meratza for ziva, specifically the tahom version of ziva, like we just described. So my time alam mishum de meratza tzitz. And the Gemara says, and I'm only left to assuming that the reason why the Karm Pesach works for her is because of the powers of the tzitz, the push of the tzitz. So Amri Lo Mishum De Kasav Rav Yosef Mekan Labahi Matami. So the Gemara says, no, the Brisa is right, but our understanding of the Brisa is not correct. The reason why the woman gets a check mark for Karm Pesach is because how does Rav Yosef view the Tuma? Meaning, when she's the Shemaris Yom Kenegi Yom, and after having toveled in the mikvah, and now she has a discharge later that day, prior to the night. So it's true that Rav Yosef says that she's Tameya, but the reason why she gets a check mark for the Karm Pesach is because while the Karm Pesach has been offered, she has not yet had that discharge. And as far as Rav Yosef is concerned, her having that discharge later on is only mikan ulahaba, only from that point going forward, and not retroactive. Meaning the general viewpoint, the consensus view, not consensus, but the majority viewpoint of the Chachamim is that when a woman or a man, for that matter, is doing a certain counting for ziva, so and they have a discharge. So generally speaking, what we say now is that is going to be a retroactive retroactive knocking out of every day that they counted. And really what we're going to do is that we're just simply going to go back to the original discharge for what got them here in the first place. That's the general viewpoint. Rav Yossi over here has a novel viewpoint, which is that no, that as far as a discharge that occurs after having toveled in the mikvah, so she's going to be Tameya, man as well, by the way, in a related scenario, she's going to be Tameya, but only Mikan Laba. Vehatanya, the Gemara says, but wait a second, are you right about that? Haven't we learned the following brisa? Rabbi Yosi Amar Zavah Shtei Re'iyo Sheshach V'Zarko Lav B'Shvi Shalav Acha Kach Ra V'Chein Shomer Yom Keneged Yom Sheshach V'Zarko Alaha B'Sheni Shalav Acha Kach Ra Asa Hare Eilu Metame Mishka V'Moshav Lema Freya U'Petur Melasos Pesach Sheni. So here we have in this brisa, now note, this brisa is authored by Rav Yosi, describing both a man after being a Baal Shtei Re'iyos, having two discharges, now counting 7 days. The seventh day is Erev Pesach. Or a woman who's a Shomeres Yom Keneged Yom, and now her second day is Erev Pesach, and they toveled in the mikvah, and Karm Pesach was shechted for them. So here in the brisa, watch what happens. So the brisa concludes by saying that their Metame Mishka V'Moshav Lema Freya, that's clearly retroactive, and they get a check for doing Pesach Sheni. So, simplest way to understand the brisa is that this is Rav Yosi who says that the Tumah is going back Lema Freya. I mean, he says it. So that's pretty clear. Also, as far as getting a check mark for the Karm Pesach, presumably that's going to be predicated on the fact that this is being Meratza. That all seems to be the simplest way to explain the brisa. Amre, in the yeshiva, they said, Ma'ilam Afreya Midrabanan. So in the B'nai yeshiva say, no, we're not going to give that explanation. But rather, we're going to stick to our guns. That the truth of the matter is that, according to Rabbi Yossi, when they have a discharge after having toveled in the mikvah, so the tumah is mikanu lahaba. That's why you got to check for the Karm Pesach. Because the Karm Pesach was offered between having toveled in the mikvah and then the subsequent discharge that occurred. And in that window of opportunity, the Karm Pesach was brought. That's why check mark is received over the Karm Pesach. As far as the Brice is saying that according to Rabbi Yossi, the Tumah is Lema Freya. So the Gemara says on that, the explanation is, that's a Din D'Rabbanan. Vav Rabbi Yoshia suffered Tumah Lema Freya Midrabbanan. And the Gemara says, and I'm going to tell you that Rabbi Yoshia also subscribes to this idea that the Tumah is Lema Freya on a rabbinic level. The Tanya Rabbi Yoshia Omer, we learned in the following, right? There's a lengthy discussion on the side whether this is a brisa. Rabbi Yoshia is misader brisos, but he himself is not part of a brisa. Anyway, right? If there was more time, would explain that in more detail. But anyway, Detanya Rabbi Yoshi Omer Aval Zav Shabbos Shvi Shalom, a Zav who sees on the seventh day, Soser Esh Shelofanav, is going to undo that which occurred previously, meaning it's retroactive. V'amalei Rabbi Yochanan lo yisar lo yomo, and Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Yoshia, no, it's not gonna undo all 7 days. It's only gonna undo 1 day. And that the Gemara says, wait 1 second. That statement to Rabbi Yochanan needs clarification. Mima nafshach. Ikas avalamafrehu metame afilu kulu nistur. If you hold that's retroactive, so then all 7 days are undone. And ikas avim mikano lahabahu metame yomanami lo nistur. And if it's only mikano lahabah, so that means that this seventh day has been counted successfully. He shouldn't have lost even 1 day. So ala ema lo yistur vilo yomo. So the Gemara says, okay, so as far as clarifying Rav Yochanan's position, so lo yistur vilo yomo, nothing. Meaning every day that he counted is successful. He counted all 7 days. Having toveled on the seventh day, good. The minion is good. He had a discharge again. Okay, that's mikanu lahaba. And Rabbi Yoshi says to Rabbi Yochanan, oh, I know who agrees with you. Rav Yossi agrees with you. Now, didn't Rav Yossi say that it's retroactive? So, so it must be that these Amarayim, Rav Yochanan and Rav Yossi, clearly were of the position that when Rav Yossi says that was Lamafreya, that it is only on a level of Derabbanan. But Midda Araisa, the discharge that occurs after having toveled the mikvah, is only Mikano Lahabam. So Ula Rav Yossi Hashadamer Mikano Labam Matama Lameis Bavad Lamute Mai. So according to Rav Yossi, now that we're saying that a discharge that occurs after having toveled the mikvah is Mikano Laba, so then how did you understand the brisa of Tumas HaTahom? Tumas HaTahom only applies to mace and only mace alone. Clearly looking to exclude something. So Nifsha Minah Debikoin Vahutrolo Tumas HaTahom. So now we're going to go back to the beginning of today's shir, where Rav Yosef constructed his argument that if it's not including the Ziva, which according to Rav Yochanan it's not, and his understanding of Rav Yossi, it's not. And as far as Sheretz is concerned, it's not excluding Sheretz. So then what are we left to say? That the exclusion is for the Kohen, which means that under normal circumstances, the Kohen is included, which was our question to begin with. So Amri said the Bnei Yeshiva say, no, lo'olam bebalam uva Pesach, v'kasavar ein ashochtim v'zorkan al tami Sheretz, v'yitzirich l'mu'ute. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Gemara says, but over here, I'll tell you that Rav Yochanan subscribes to the viewpoint, and Rav Yossi subscribes to the viewpoint of Ein Shochtim V'Zorkin Al Tami Sheretz, that you're not allowed to shech for somebody who's a Tami Sheretz on Erev Pesach. And now what you could have argued is that the Tzitz is going to push it through. And then I need an exclusion to tell me that even for Sheretz, the Tzitz does not push it through. Because again, when it comes to Tumas HaTahom, the Tzitz only works for Tumas Mason, for no other Tumah. Okay, so what comes out now clearly from the Gemara over here, right? That was a complicated piece of Gemara, but what it comes out now is that Rav Yossi has a novel way to look at a discharge that occurs from a zav or a zava after they have toveled in the mikvah, after having toveled in the mikvah, and then they have a re'iyah for a zava shemar yom keneged yom for a zav. Even a balshei re'iyos has to count 7 days, and now, on that day in which they are eligible to tovel in the mikvah, and they toveled in the mikvah, and they had a subsequent discharge after that before the sun set. So Rav Yossi's novel viewpoint, which is not agreed to by the Chachamim, is that the Tumah is only Mikano Laba, only from this point going forward. And as far as practically speaking, what would that mean? It would mean that if you take a Karban Pesach and shechted it for them, in that interim period, after they have toveled in the mikvah and before they had that discharge, so then they're going to get a check mark for having offered the Karban Pesach. Not because of the tzitz, not because of any protexia, but simply because in that window, they are tahor legamre. Now, yes, it's true that Rav Yossi says that there is a Tumah Derabbanan l'mafreya, but that's a Tumah Derabbanan. But min haTorah, they are in fact tahor, which therefore allows them to have been credited for the Karban Pesach. This is all the novel viewpoint of Rav Yossi. How did we get here? How did this take up most of our daf today? Because what the Gemara pointed out is that when we read the Braisa that says that the Tumas HaTom is only for, the tzitz being Maratza for Tumas HaTom is only for Mason, for no other Tuma. So what is there to be excluded? So we tried we tried out maybe the Tahom of Sheretz, maybe the Tahom of Mace for the Kohen. But the Gemara says that really what it could be talking about is the Tumas Tahom of Ziva. But the Gemara points out, yeah, that's true, but that wouldn't work in the within the position of Rav Yossi. And then the Gemara just simply brought us through the entire position of Rav Yossi. So the Gemara says, okay, just one more follow-up question with Rav Yossi. Ela Rav Yossi, so Zava Gemura Hechi Mishkachala. So the Gemara says, okay, so now Zava Gemura. So how do you ever get to a woman who's a Zava Gemura? Remember, when it comes to a man being a Zav, where he has to count Shiv Nikiyim, he only needs two Re'ios, and it doesn't have to be on two consecutive days. It could even be on the same day. But when it comes to a woman, for her to become a Zava Gedola, so as we learned back in Masechta Nida, at the tail end of the Masechta, so for a woman to become a Zava Gedola, she needs to have three discharges on three consecutive days. This is the only way a woman can become a Zava Gedola, requiring her to weigh Shiv Nikiyim, for her to bring a carbon on day 8, fine. For Rav Yossi, how do we ever get there? How does a woman ever get to three consecutive days? Because consider, according to Rav Yossi, on the second day, she can tovel at any point during that day. And then any discharge that she has is going to be a new discharge. And v'chule v'chule, and according to Rav Yossi, you're never going to be able to string together three consecutive days. So the Gemara gives a couple of possibilities how you're going to do it according to Rav Yossi. Either number one, bishofas, where let's say she's just simply hemorrhaging for three consecutive days, giving her no opportunity to tovel in the mikvah. That's one possibility. Or she had the hemorrhaging for three consecutive days is a really unlikely scenario, but as long as it's possible, that's one solution. The second solution is that she had a discharge for two consecutive Beinash Mashas periods. In that, during the Beinash Mashas period, it's a Safik Yom, Safik Laila. So that means to say that will count towards 2 days. And then when she has it the next night as well, or not the next night, but the next Beinash Mashas. So once again now, we are working with the possibility that that Beinash Mashas was either the day prior or the day upcoming. That's now going to get us to three consecutive days. And because now she had it during the Beinash Mashos, it does not give her an opportunity to have tovel in the mikvah. So that's how, according to Rav Yossi, you're able to string together three consecutive days. Good. So that is Rav Yossi in terms of how a woman can become a Zava Gedola. But basically what the Gemara is saying is that under normal circumstances, a woman's not going to become a Zava Gedola, according to Rav Yossi, if in fact she tovels in between. By Rav Yosef. The Gemara now, next topic of today's Gemara, I'm going to say next topic. We're still working within the larger discussion of Tumas Tahom. So Rav Yosef says, Koina Maratze B'tamid, Huchol Tumas Tahom, O Lo. So as far as the Koin now, working with the Karban Tamid, and is there going to be a Tzitz being Maratze for Tumas Tahom, specifically for the Karban Tamid? So im tem salam kohen amaratza bekarbon oseihem. So huchol tumas tahom kohen amaratza betamid mai. So if we say that the kohen is going to be maratza bekarbon oseihem, meaning, look, what do we know that the tumas tahom halach lamashim Sinai applies to karbon pesach? We know that it applies to to nazir. We entertain now for basically all of today's daf up to this point in time the idea that maybe it also applies to the Kohen doing the Avoda. Now, the Kohen obviously is not the owner of the Karban. He's just simply the one facilitating. He's doing the Avoda. So let's assume that the Tzitz is being Maratza for the Kohen doing the Avoda with the Karban Pesach. So now the Gemara wants to know, can we now extend that for a Kohen doing any Karban? So that's the Gemara's question. The Gemara over here details this question to the Karban Tamid. Seemingly, I'm not sure about this point, but seemingly it would apply to other karbanos as well. But that point doesn't have to stand on its own. It could be that I'm wrong about that. But anyway, so me amrin ki gemiri tumas atom bePesach b'tamid lo gemiri. So it could very well be the halach lamoshe misina if tumas atom and the tzitz being maratza for tumas atom is only for karban Pesach and not for the karban tamid. Odilma yalav tamid mi Pesach, or maybe no, maybe there's a limud. So Amarabba Kavachomer. So Rabba says there is a limud, and specifically a Kavachomer, and the Kavachomer will sound like this. Umamba makav shalom huchalot tuma yedua. So the Karban Pesach, a person is definitively tamei, so he can't bring his Karban Pesach. Now, yes, if the majority of the Jewish people are tamei, so yes, he can, but for individuals, he cannot. Now, Huchalo Tumas Atahom, and yet Tumas Atahom is allowed for the Karban Pesach. So, Makam Shehuchalo Tumah Yidua, in a place where the Karban Tamid is going to get pushed off for Tumah, Karban Tamid has to be brought daily, even for Tumah Yidua. So, Eino Din Shehuchalo Tumas Atahom. So, for sure, it should become allowed for Tumas Atahom of the Karban Tamid. This is now the Kal V'chomer argument that is provided by Rabbah. So the Gemara says, that's interesting. Umi dainin a kavachomer mehalacha. So that's interesting. Taking a kavachomer and applying it to halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Kavachomer is one of the Yugim Amidah Shatar Nidreshas by him. It is certainly a way to arrive at halacha conclusions, but you're not allowed to make a kavachomer on halacha Moshe Mitzinai. It has to be made on a pasuk. And the Gemara says, and how do I know that? So the Hatanya will learn to the Braisa Amar Lo Rebbe Eliezer Akiva Etzem Kisora Halacha. Revi is dam kavachomer. So this takes us to a back and forth that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer have in the Gemara in Nazir, and the question of whether or not a Nazir is going to be tameh when coming into contact with Revi is dam. And Rabbi Kiva wanted to argue that yes, he wanted to make a kavachomer. And Rabbi Eliezer's response is that you're making the kavachomer based on etzem kisseora, a bone chip the size of a barley corn. So that is a halach l'moshe Mitzinai. And Revi Yizdam is a kavachomer, vein dan a kavachomer me'alacha. You're trying to generate a kavachomer. I know I didn't go through all the details of this particular kavachomer. And I'm not going to do it this morning. When we get to Nazir, we'll do this in much greater detail. But the point is that Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Kiva, you can't build a kavachomer on top of a halach l'moshe Mitzinai. So, Rabbi Kiva argues with that point, doesn't argue with that point. But anyway, it's clear from that back and forth that you can't do that. So Ela Amar Rava Yalav me Moado Moado me Pesach. So Rava says, okay. So it's going to be now Gzeira Shavah. We're going to learn it through Gzeira Shavah. So it's interesting. The Gemara says that when it comes to Kavachomer, that you cannot superimpose on a Halach LaMoshe Mitzinai. Aye, but Gzeira Shavah you're allowed to. Okay. Clearly the dynamics of Gzeira Shavah are different than that of a Kavachomer. And that the Gemara over here did not balk at the suggestion that Gzeira Shavah can be superimposed on top of a halacha Moshe Mitzinai. Which, by the way, now, going back to the point that I made earlier, that if it's Gzeira Shavah, so now clearly then it only applies to the Karban Tamid, not to other Karbanas. Okay. V'tumas atahom gufa hecha ksiva. Okay. So that's it. That's the end of that section of the Gemara. The Gemara now is going to basically circle back to a simple question of where do we know this halacha that the tzitz is meratzah for tumas atahom? Where do we find this in the Torah? Now, if you've been following the daf well today, you know the answer already. The answer is it's not in the Torah. It's halacha l'moshe Mitzinai. But over here, the Gemara is giving us an older conversation, an older discussion that took place in the Beis Medrash, right? For all of today's daf, the Gemara knew this information already, but the Gemara now is just simply circling back. So, Amar Rav Elazar Amar Kras. So here we have Amarayim, each one of them positing a pasuk. So Rav Elazar says the pasuk says v'chiyamus meis alav. So b'machaver alav. So the pasuk says by Nazir that the person died on him, meaning it was clear to him that the person died. So that means to say that if it was unknown tuma, otherwise known as tuma satahom, so then no, then the Nazir is not going to lose his nazirus. Ashkecha Nazir also Pesach min alan good. That drasha gets us to Nazir. What about Karban Pesach? So Amar Rav Yochanan Amar Kra b'derech rechoka lachem. A person was far away. Parshas Baloscha b'machaver lachem, meaning, and he knows that it's clear. So Rav Shimon Malakish Amar k'derech maderech begalui avtama nami begalui. And Reish Lakish looks at the same pasuk. Darshan's it's slightly different. You know that when you're going on a pathway, so it's clear. So too, the tuma has to be clear as well. Meisvei the Gemara says really. Really, drashas that get us to Tumas Atahom. So, Ezu Tumas Atahom. So, here we have a Brisa. So the Brisa here is giving us definition of what is Tumas Atahom. Koshlo hikarba echa besof ha'olam. Hikarba echa besof ha'olam means a Tumas Atahom. It means nobody knew at the time of transmission about the source of this Tumah. Nobody knew about it. Nobody. Not one person. L'Reb Elazar damar mechver salav adyada hu. So, and according to Rav Elazar in his drasha, the one person knew about it, i.e. the person who became Tameh, L'Rav Yochanan Damar Lachem, B'machaver Lachem Adi Adi Beit Train. And according to Rav Yochanan, the way he darshans with the word lachem, so it's plural, and like we always say, but we assume the smallest amount for plural is two. So two people knew. And Reish Lakish, the Amar Kiderch Adi Adi Kulei Alma, and according to Reish Lakish, the entire world had to have known, just like everybody knows about a pathway, so too the entire world has to know. And that does not at all agree with the Braisa. The Braisa says, for it to be Tumas HaTahom, nobody has to have, nobody knew about it. So Ella Tumas HaTahom, Hilchusa Gemira La, the Kras Machta Ba'alma. So the Gemara says, it's Halach LaMoshe MiSinai, I, the Psukim that we just darshan as Machta. So the Chachamim would like to attach Halachas. It's interesting. Normally we talk about Halachas being attached to the Torah, which are the Rabbanan Halachas, which are attached to the Torah. That's generally how we describe a Smachta. Over here, this is a little bit different. What we're doing is we're attaching Halach LaMoshe MiSinai to Pesukim of the Torah, and that's being filed under this under the category of Asmachta. Amar Marba Rav Ashi. Continue now in the Gemara. Lo Shano Lo Shano Delo LaAcher Zrika. As far as the tzitz being maratza, that's only true if the discovery occurs after Zrika. Dechi is Darik Dam Shapi is Darik, because the Zrika was done correctly, meaning without knowing. But if, let's say, at the time of transmission, nobody knew. And then discovery occurs, but discovery occurs before Zrika. So what the Gemara now is trying to argue, Marba Rav Ashi is trying to argue, is that then you do not have the allowance to sprinkle, and therefore, and if you do, the tzitz is not going to be a meratza. The tzitz will not handle this kind of tumas atom. Meisvei, the Gemara says, I don't think it's correct. Because Hamotzi makes Mushkav L'Rach Vosho Derech L'Truma Tamei L'Nazir V'Osei Pesach Tahor. The as far as somebody having walked over a body that was buried underground, the body was buried perpendicular to the ground. So that means that as you walked over the path, you for sure walked over the body. And as far as Truma is concerned, you're Tamei. As far as Nazir and Osei Pesach is concerned, you're Tahor. Meaning this will file under the category of Tumas HaTahom. And again, this unique Halach LaMoshe MiSinai takes Tumas HaTahom and applies it only to Karban Pesach and to Nazir. V'chol Tamei V'Tahor La Bahu. And the Gemara just simply says that when we use the words Tamei and Tahor, we mean from this point going forward. So Ela Yidmar, Achi Yidmar. So the Gemara says, fine. So now a revision. Amar Marbar Avashi Lo Tema Nodol Alachas Zrika Hu Demiratze Val Nodol Lifnei Zrika La Miratze Ela Afilo Nodol Lifnei Zrika Miratze. So the revision of Marbar Ravashi is that even if you knew about the Tumas HaTahom, meaning again when the transmission of the Tumah occurred for Tumas HaTahom, nobody knew, but then afterwards there was discovery. So now in the revision of Marbar Ravashi, even if discovery occurred before Zrika Saddam, so the Halacha LaMoshe MiSinai that the tzitz is meratza for Tumas HaTahom allows for Zrika Saddam to occur. Good. That's the revision. Interesting Rashi over here. Rashi says, that as far as even within the revision, so the Rashi writes over here, but it still has to be after Shechita. I'm sorry. I had the Rashi and then I lost it. Okay. I'll find it later. Okay. Anyway, back to the Gemara. One more topic of discussion for today. Obviously still centering on Tumas HaTahom. And with that, that will be the Gemara's conclusion on this topic of Tumas HaTahom Gufa. The, Hamotze Mace. The Gemara now from here until the Mishnah is going to be quoting the Braisa in full. Meaning we've been quoting excerpts of this braisa over the course of the entire daf today, but now we're going to get a full treatment of this braisa, and that's going to cover from here until the Mishnah. Fine. So point number one. So the body's buried underground under the pathway, perpendicular. So now you know that it's covering the entire width of the pathway. You walked over it, so there was definitely ohel, and there was definitely transmission. So vis-a-vis truma, you're tamei. Vis-a-vis karm pesach and nazir, so you're in fact tahor. Again, because this is Tumas HaTahom, and we have the special unique halach LaMoshe MiSinai. So ba'medvar marmar shein lo makom lavor ava yesh makom lavor af l'truma tahor. The Gemara says, but that's only talking about a case where there was literally no way you could have walked down that path, and not come into contact with the mace, meaning the mace was directly underneath you. But let's say there was a possibility, there was a pathway within the pathway where you could have circumnavigated the tuma. So then even for truma, you're going to be tar, because then we're just looking at a suffix. And presumably over here, we're talking about a suffix bershus arabim, right? Rashi writes that. And therefore, you're going to be tahor. Ba'medvamom shematzu shalem. That's only when the mace was found intact, meaning complete. Ava mishubar mefurak tahor. But if the mace was segmented, and so now it's basically the same idea. So shema ben brakim avar. So then the possibility is that when you walked between the segmented portions, and you were not directly over the mace. And so once again, this is suffix, and again, suffix bershus arabim, suffix tuma bershus arabim is tahor. And uve kever afilum shubar mefurak tamim mimisha kever mitzarfo. And then we have halacha regarding kever, which is now that if the body is buried within a within something that has the legal status of a kever, right? It's a coffin, or it was specifically dug out for the mace. So then we have this idea that the kever is mitzaref, and the entire area of the kever now has the via vos of tumas ohel. So that if you walk over any part of the kever, you're going to be tamei, and so therefore there's no way now to navigate in between. Now, that's when you're walking with your feet. And again, another limitation, and that is that the only time that we're going to argue of a suffix is only if you're walking. But if you're being transported over, so then there's no way that there you could have avoided the tumah, and for sure either you made contact or you were directly over the mace. Ba'medvar mamorim b'tumas tahom. This is all in description of tumas tahom, meaning at the time of transmission nobody knew about it. Ava b'tumah you do it, but if people knew about it, tameh. So then you're tameh, then it's just standard tumah. Ve'ezeh hi tumas tahom kol shelo hikar ba echad b'sof ha'olam. Right. Hopefully you remember this. We already covered this line of the Brisa earlier this morning. And the definition of tumas tahom is that not a single person knew about it. Bechol ha'olam. Now, it's understandably, it's really hard to know that nobody knew about it. Right. So to get to this point, I imagine is a challenge. I'm just guessing that there are certain assumptions that we're going to make, in that there was literally no markings whatsoever, and so that nobody could have known about it. Maybe that's what the Brisa means. In other words, you don't have to survey the entire population. But if somebody knew about it, so then it's not tumas tahom. Matzu tamum b'teven ba'afar v'tzoros are is the tumas tahom. Now, what would be circumstances where nobody knew about it? If the body was underneath straw, or underneath dirt, or underneath pebbles, so that we can assume nobody knew about it. However, but if the body was buried in water, or just simply it was dark, or crevices in the rocks, so ain't that tumas tahom. So that's not tumas tahom, because you have to assume that somebody knew about it. In other words, there was the body was buried where exposure was. It's very easy to discover, and we have to assume somebody knew about it. And then finally, in conclusion of today's daf, Elo Amru Tumas Atom Ela Lameis Bavad. Now, as far as what kind of tumah we're talking about, it only applies to mace, it applies to no other tumah. Good. Adkan, that takes us to the end of the Braisa and the conclusion of today's daf, which all centered around one topic, and that's Tumas Atom. Let's recap our daf today. The Mishnah on yesterday's daf in payment base tells us that the Tzitz is Meratzen, is able to push certain things through. So one of them says the end of the Mishnah is that the tzitz is meratzen for tumas tahom. So that now, with significant limitation, we know that if a person had an exposure of tumah, but specifically under this circumstance of tumas tahom, which now we know better, which is that nobody knew about it, right? And again, going back to the Rashi and the Mishnah, it makes the Rashi and the Mishnah difficult to understand. Right? I made this point earlier this morning, but now in the review we can highlight the Rashi writes tumas tahom but tumas safek. So Rashi's usage of the word suffix over there, it's not suffix in the conventional sense. The suffix over here just simply means that we're in a state of not knowing, right? That's what Rashi meant. But okay, anyway, I underlined those words in Rashi. Clearly, they stood out. But anyway, so by Karm Pesach, by Nazir. If a person had transmission of Tumas at home, so then what the tzitz is able to do is basically give him the protexia, give him the extra push where he can still offer Karm Pesach, and for the Nazir, he does not have to lose all the days that he counted. Now, Tumas at home, so the tzitz being rasa for Tumas at home, Rami Bar Chama wants to know, is that not only talking about the owner of the carbon, but is also talking about the Kohen as well, who's doing the avoda of the carbon, and he had an exposure of Tumas at home. Is it going to work there as well? So that was the first part of today's daf, and that was a lengthy and intricate discussion, all based on the braisa, where we just saw the braisa at the end of the daf today, where the braisa concludes by saying Tumas at home, lo amru Tumas at home, elul makes bavad, and from those words in the braisa, so we know that the braisa is trying to exclude something. And so based on the possibility of exclusion, so we try to give voice to this question of, is the tzitz being maratza for Tumas Tatom going to include also the Kohen as well? And it brought us to the sheet of Rav Yossi, where Rav Yossi has a really novel position when it comes to Ziva, because we thought that the exclusion might relate to Ziva. And Rav Yossi's novel position when it comes to Ziva is that after having toveled in the mikvah, for our Shomer Yom Keneged Yom, or our Baal Shtei Re'ios, where there they have to count. And by the way, I didn't make this point clear. The reason why we're not talking about a man who had three Re'ios, and the reason why we're not talking about a woman who's a Zava Gedola, is because for day seven for them, the story is not over. They have to bring Karbanos on day eight. So for them, even after having toveled in the mikvah, so there's no way that we can entertain the idea that, okay, now the next discharge is the new discharge, because their tumah process is not over. That's why we talked about Shomer Yom Keneged Yom and a Baal Shtei Re'ios, because for them, it's just simply a counting. For our woman, it's a one-day counting. For a man, it's a seven-day counting, but that's it. And Rav Yossi takes us through a really interesting position, but it's unique to Rav Yossi, is that after having toveled in the mikvah, and then later in that day, they have a discharge, that's only going to be mikan ulaban, that's not going to be retroactive. Good, that's the sheet of Rav Yossi, which we also spent a good amount of time discussing within the larger discussion of, is Tumas Tatom going to include the Kohen as well? Okay, and the Gemara had a couple follow-up questions with Rav Yossi. Let's assume that it says the Gemara in Pei Alpha and Aleph, that we do say that the Tumas Tatom is going to give coverage not only for the owner of the Karban Pesach, but even for the Kohen doing the Avoda. Is that also going to be able to extend to the Kohen doing the Avoda for the Karban Tamid? So the Gemara entertains that discussion. First, the Gemara thinks that we can learn it through a Kal V'chomer. Yeah, but you can't make a Kal V'chomer on a Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai. Then the Gemara says, Gzeira Shava. You are allowed to make a Gzeira Shava on a Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai. Once the Gzeira Shava is there, so then yes, the Kohen, the coverage of the tzitz being Maratza for Tumas Atom is even going to cover a Kohen doing the Karban Tamid, if you subscribe to the Gzeira Shava. Then, the Gemara wants to know what's the source of Tumas Atahom. Answer, bottom line, Halacha Moshe Mi'Sinai. Then, the Gemara wants to know, at the time of transmission, obviously nobody knew about it. And then there was a point of discovery. Does the point of discovery have to be after the Zrikas Adam, or could it be even before the Zrikas Adam? Gemara's conclusion, even before the Zrikas Adam. Then, the Gemara cites a Braisa, and in the Braisa, the entire halachas of Tumas Atahom are all expounded, where it only is for a nazir and only for one who making the Karban Pesach. And it's not talking about a case of safek, because if it's talking about a case of safek, the person's taro legamri, even for the consumption of truma. It has to be where there was the definitive transmission, but nobody knew at the time that this truma existed. It was buried underground. No markings whatsoever. Not a single person in the world knew that it was there. And then the braisa also goes on to qualify that it's the circumstances in which nobody knew that it was there. It was buried under straw. It was buried under dirt, under pebbles. Those are examples of tumas atahom. However, just buried in water, right? I'm sorry, not. Or should, let's just say submerged underwater or in the dark. Or caught between large stones, where there it's pretty easy to discover. We have to assume that that's not a case of Tumas Atom. And finally, the coverage of Tumas Atom, where the tzitz is maratza, is only for Tumas Mace. Right? That's the end of the Braitha, which obviously would have been good to know in the beginning of today's daf. Good, right? That's the circular nature of Gemara.